At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here today right now with Ked Prince. We'll also have drop-ins from Brad Sturdy and Matt Stevens. We are talking about the ReliaQuest Bowl, which ended with Illinois losing 19-10, a bowl that was fairly evenly played until the last minute or so, if you call scoring a touchdown with part of your foot out of bounds a touchdown, then we're good. That's one that I think people are going to argue back and forth till the end of time, at least Mississippi State and Illinois fans. I don't think anybody else in the nation even remotely cares. But it was definitely a game that the Illini defense showed up. We saw some big hitting and really a pretty darn good game when you hold Air Raid to essentially 10 points, maybe even three, depending on how you look at it. Ked, what were your thoughts initially?
Very frustrating loss. I'm not going to pretend that it was an okay loss. And I don't know, maybe the football gods were, was with Mississippi State. There's so many things to touch on, Mike. I don't know if there's enough time in a podcast to touch on them all. The touchdown, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the white line you look at. That was huge. The one thing I will say, though, and I'm going to be really positive about this, and I will take anybody to task, and I have a couple of friends who are texting at me, and I mean, I'm going to probably lose some friendships over this game. I don't want to hear anybody complaining about the defense. They're upset and freaking out because Mississippi State drove the ball down the field in the last part of the game. It's called a two-minute damn offense. And most teams in college football have a good two-minute offense. Illinois held them to freaking 10 points, 13 points the entire game. If you can't score more than 13 points, I don't want to hear a damn thing about the defense, because they did their job. They hit hard, and they did it with a bunch of young guys. They limited what Mississippi State wanted to do. This is 2023. You have to score points. I don't want to hear anything about the quarterback, the line play, blame it on whatever you want. I know what I think. You got to score points. And Mississippi State dominated our offensive line today, which I thought was – maybe they had a bad hair day. I don't know. But for me, from my standpoint, it's a frustrating loss. Like we said at the onset of this podcast, so many things, the non-targeting call, helmet to helmet, every time Illinois was on a, was making a drive, there was some call, they threw a flag holding to set them back. Maybe they did this for the coach. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's frustrating sometimes what you see in college athletics, but this loss stinks to me because I was impressed. And kudos to Aaron Henry. I think Illinois defense is going to be fine. I have some concerns on offense. I'm just going to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I guess let's talk about the defense first. I was very happy with the play of the defense. They obviously, towards the end, you have a lot of factors. You have fatigue. And like you said, the two-minute offense comes into play. But boy, the play of Matthew Bailey, there was a lot of youngsters who stood up and really played quite well today for the Illini. I felt like if they can figure out a way to keep Newton and Randolph in Champaign next year, you really have an opportunity to do something. The only issue is I wonder if Brett Bielema will have to take a look at, you know, this is four games this year, five games total that you lose by a touchdown or less. And I'm not counting the last, you know, run back, because I got to be honest with you, it looked like there might have been a forward pass, but by that time I wasn't really paying too much attention trying to get ready for the podcast. But in any event, you know, you get down to one possession games, and it really does come down to the fact that you have to be able to do a little more on offense. And, you know, you had Nick Saban, who had his year where he decided that they needed to change up how they did offense there at Alabama. And I think that Brett Bielema, along with Ryan Walters and Aaron Henry, Andy Boo, these guys have got defense figured out. I think, because if you could only imagine how good this defense would be if you had a bunch of four stars and five stars playing it. I think the biggest challenge now is do you stick with the 3 yards and a cloud of dust? Or do you at least think about trying to incorporate a few more wrinkles from a more open offense to see if you can get some points? Because if you give the Illini, you know, one more touchdown in five games, and I'm not saying that they're anywhere near as good as Georgia, but right now you have an undefeated Illini team.
Mike, I'm going to say this again. You held one of the best offenses in the country to 13 points, man. I mean, you get the extra point in the end, like you said, if it was a lateral pass or not. You have to figure this out, because the receivers that are coming in as a new quarterback, the offense has to have some imagination. I mean, I don't know about you. I know the people who are listening to this podcast, because I've seen it on our message board and I've seen them on Twitter. People knew what was going to happen. I don't care. You know what? Teams march the ball down the field. They do that. That's what they're supposed to do. But if you take – you and I went 2 years ago, we went to go meet with Brett Bielema when he had that media day for all the media people, and he told us the game's not always lost in the fourth quarter. It's what you do first, second, and third, and how many opportunities did we blow it away? How about the false start when I think it was Julian Pearl – DeBito throws a strike down the field. Isaiah, it's a touchdown. Those are things that you can't do. I want to see more things like that. Because Illinois, if this is what they're going to do for the next 3 years, whatever Barry Lonnie's there, if that's what we're going to see, then you can expect 7, 6, 7, 8 wins all the time. Because I want to tell you, the defense can only hold you so much and so long. I'm impressed with that. I was impressed with the play call. I was impressed because they didn't get beat long. It shows the talent there that they've developed. Coach Henry talked about that. It's the next man up mentality. That's impressive. I mean, I'm okay with what they're going to have in the backfield, but you cannot be so bland on offense. And, I mean, granted, Tommy DeVito didn't have his best day, but I don't think he was that bad to where they shouldn't have been able to dunk the ball here 4 or 5 yards here, because that's what Mississippi State did, and they won the game. I'm just frustrated because, personally, this was another one that slipped away, and we can make excuses. You held one of the best offensive and passing attacks in the country, an SEC opponent, to 13 points.
Yeah, just as perspective, Ked, you know, this team was 8-4, Mississippi State. They were held to 19 points by Georgia. So even – you know, with the screwy refereeing, you know, that gives you that basically Illinois matched Georgia. And I don't think they had a touchdown that wasn't called, nor do I, you know, you throw that last, you know, play antics out. So Illinois essentially held them to 13 points, less than the Bulldogs, who have arguably the best defense in the country. Alabama held this team to 6 points. And if you want to take the touchdown off there, that's Illinois held them to 6 points. You know, you get pretty close. LSU held them to 16, and they're currently pasting the Boilermakers. Like, I mean, I'm honest, you know, a Thanksgiving turkey's got a better chance than what the Boilers have against LSU today. And even their loss to Kentucky, Kentucky held them to 17 points. So you're talking some pretty good defensive teams there that Illinois is comparing to. And Illinois doesn't have to take in defense. They don't have to take a backseat to anyone from a defensive standpoint.
No, they don't. And that's what's impressive. And that's, you know, part of the bowl game is to see what you have, you know, moving, you know, toward the future. You could see the frustration on Tommy's face today, whether it would be the mistakes, play, I don't know. There's so many things because we're not on the field, you know, even though you could be sitting there in the press box, you don't know what the coaches are saying to the players and what they're calling. There was just a missed opportunity. I mean, it's a missed opportunity against a quality opponent, an SEC opponent, you know, where you could prove that, hey, you know, we belong. Because, you know, let's face it, I mean, Illinois is going to be good again next year. You know, they're not going to be bad again. I'm sorry, unless the quarterback, you know, Luke comes in and he just can't throw anything, or maybe Leary, who's going to get a shot at the quarterback race as well. I think they're going to be competitive. But this offense has to change. And I don't care who's listening to this. You cannot do the same thing, you know. And you, Isaiah Williams, I have been very critical of him, and I want to tip my hat to him. He was fantastic today. He was today, all the games that we saw in person, you know, they talked about getting the ball to him. Well, today they did a very good job of that. That was impressive. I was impressed seeing what he could do. But they need a deep threat guy down the field that can just stretch the ball. And I thought Pat Bryant and those guys could do it. I just don't know if the opportunity was given to them. I mean, how many deep balls did they try and throw? I don't know. You're not going to win enough games against good quality opponents if you don't do that.
Well, and I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if they had time. I think they almost needed to start running some of the smaller routes just to get quicker times, because every time DeVito was back in the pocket for any amount of time, you know, he was either evading, you know, defenders successfully or not successfully. And I'll be honest, I look at DeVito, 23 for 34 with 253 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think he outplayed Will Rogers, that we had to hear how great he was the whole game. Rogers was 29 for 44 with 261, you know, almost a full, about a yard and a half more per passing attempt. And DeVito didn't turn over the ball twice. And Rogers' one touchdown pass was, let's just say, 50-50 call, you know, depending on who you are. There about half the fans thought it wasn't a touchdown and half the fans thought it was. And that was even looking at the Mississippi State, you know, tweets. There were a lot of people there who didn't think it was a touchdown. So again, I think that's more, you know, fans will debate that one for a long time. But I do think what I felt like down the end, particularly as Mississippi State was running the blitz, is I thought two things. One is, can we run pass routes to take what they're giving us, i.e. shorter pass routes? And then are aside from Isaiah Williams, are they not capable of getting the separation needed for Tommy to get the ball out of a very, very war-torn pocket? Because he was going, you know, I thought his numbers were really good considering all of the things that he was dealing with back there. Go ahead, Ked.
Well, one of the things, like you're right, he was running for his life. Today probably reminded him a lot of Syracuse today. It's probably what you saw. I mean, seriously. But, you know, if you're on your A game as a team and as a staff, you're right, those short passes. Casey Washington, I thought, had a good day today. You take the four or five yards and get it down the field. You know, you have the less chance of holding. You get the ball out quick. I will tell you another thing. The only thing I was disappointed with You know, and I, you know, kind of text you during the game. They didn't get any pressure to him, to the quarterback at all today. Just none. I mean, that's one thing that they pride themselves on, is getting pressure to the quarterback to make bad throws. And, you know, it kind of reminded me of the Purdue game with Aiden O'Connell. You got to be able to get pressure. And teams who traditionally have really, really good passing games, excellent passing games, they do a good job, like Purdue does, of protecting the quarterback. But I don't think he was sacked once today. I mean, unless my memory, I could be wrong, but I don't think they got him once. They hurried him a few times, but he never laid on his back at all from any of the pass rushing possibilities or attempts that Illinois tried today.
Yeah.
So kudos to their offensive line, I guess, for doing that. But, you know, it's a good season, but it's a sour taste because, you know, as we say, you know, it happens. Illinois athletics is just something can go wrong or will go wrong. I knew that touchdown was going to count. You know, there's always going to be some kind of call that's going to hurt them or screw them. It happens too many times. There's too many smart people out there listening to this podcast. They can go through football and basketball games for years of all the bad luck things, the Miami game and the basketball game. There's so many things, the Kentucky game in 84. There's so many basketball games. There's so many things that can just bite you in the butt. Look at the games that we lost this year. The screen pass against Michigan. That was on fourth down. You get the stop there, you win the game. You know, there's just so many different opportunities. The Purdue game. You know, I just don't – it stinks because you knew it was going to happen. And until Illinois, I think, starts to win more consistently at all levels, you're going to start seeing some of those things turn around the other way, I think.
Yeah, college refereeing is clearly – if you're in the higher level, you know, respected teams, you're going to get the calls. That's just the way it goes. And Illinois basketball is starting to get those calls again. They really haven't gotten them, in my opinion, since you know, the early part of the Weber regime, and they're starting to get them back now, where Illinois gets the benefit of the doubt. And the football, I mean, let's face it, the football has been cruddy except for 3 years, this year, 2007 and 2001. So if you're a referee, you've been, you know, working for 30 years, Illinois has sucked. So, you know, odds are Illinois isn't good enough. They're going to have to hold. You know, I gotta be honest. I felt sorry for Newton today. There was at least two pass completions where he literally, one play in particular, he had his right arm was literally being grabbed by the Mississippi State guy. And there's no holding call, but we got two, you know, really important holds on the Illini in the last quarter. So it does smell bad, but in my way of thinking, you got to win more than Illinois has to get those calls. Now
on the high side, but I'm sorry. Why should that have to happen? Why should that matter in today's college athletics? I mean, you shouldn't have to be quote unquote an LSU or Ohio State to get those calls. It is what it is. I mean, I know you talked about the touchdown real quick, but I think the most blatant one of all was a helmet to helmet. That was blatant.
I mean, we've seen that now. We've seen that helmet to helmet, or at least hitting a guy in the head. We've seen that three times over the weekend. I don't know why they bother to write the rule. And I'm not saying that I'm a huge fan of the rule, but the Michigan guy was the definition of helmet to helmet. The Harrison, you could see that guy was going to get a hit on him and put it on, and hit him on the helmet. Now, it wasn't perfectly helmet to helmet, but the whole impact was on the guy's head, which you would probably put that towards a defenseless player, but nonetheless, whatever. And then right in front of Brett Bielema today. And so, you know, it is what it is. I'm just pointing it out, Kat. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's just,
I agree.
You know, Illinois is, except for the 80s in football, has sucked, you know, in the start of the 90s has been bad. So we were starting to get some calls in the McEvick era. And then that all turned around. So we've got Brad Sturdy, who just joined us now. He's actually live down in Tampa. So he'll be fighting the crowd, you know, and he's probably got his swashbuckler sword and his pirate hat on. So, Brad, give us your thoughts here after the game.
Well, what a bad beat on the last play, too. With Mississippi State, what, three and a half point favorites, and then they get the pick six or the fumble recovery touchdown at the end. Yeah. So if you bet on Illinois, yikes. But No, I think this was a game. Illinois, my takeaways, first one is I thought Aaron Henry called a really good game on defense. They did a good job protecting his defensive backs. But you can't have a situation where you give up 7 sacks and get none. You give up, 10 tackles for loss and get none of your own and expect to win very often. And yet they still had a chance. So I guess that's a positive thing. I thought the game came down to a couple key situations. You know, obviously the call, the end zone call, whatever. But even after that, before and after that, I thought when they took the long they took the big sack on third down and it set up fourth down and Griffin had to kick a 52-yard field goal in the first half.
Yep.
I thought that was a big play because he misses the first 52-yarder. As where if we throw that ball away or don't take sack somehow, you know, he's got a 45-yarder. I think he probably makes it, you know, because he's really good inside there. Then the other play was that last play, 2 minutes to go. You had a great option and just kind of overthrew Isaiah Williams. He's too small, whatever you want to say. But that was there. And if you make that throw, you're first and 10. You're in their territory at the 40-yard line. And you're moving the ball. And 2 minutes to go probably takes away much of their ability to come back down the field even if you don't score a touchdown.
Right.
I mean, because you got 2 minutes and you've got, you know, the way the Illinois plays, they're going to run, going to bleed some clock, get in there and maybe get a field goal attempt, whatever it is. But yeah, instead you have to punt and they and so forth. But, I thought that there were openings though. The one thing I didn't like was a lot of everything went towards the boundary, if you didn't notice. And some of their plays, like they'd bring Williams out and then bring him back in and he would actually gain yards in the middle on those bubble screens instead of on the outside, but yet all their plays were to the outside. They ran Mississippi State had so many zero coverage things where they had no safety in the middle. And yet Illinois never got anything. They did get one play. If you remember, Ryman had the play down on the, would have been a first down and goal.
Yeah. He got nailed. He
dropped it on the hit. Well, that's kind of play you got to make if you want to win the games against really good teams. And then I thought that there was that last play, even when Williams caught that ball, the outside, had he gone over the middle, he would have run to the end zone before he found anybody from Mississippi State. If he'd have turned left instead of right, going in instead of out. I mean, he turned that guy around, but he could have just kept going on a slant because they were, again, the coverage was – they just left the middle of the field open all day long, and Illinois couldn't exploit it. And that's where they don't have the playmakers on the outside. I didn't think DeVito played a great game. I thought he got happy feet a little bit. You know, he didn't throw some balls away that he probably should have after. You know, if you go through read one and read two and you don't have a play,
you're right.
You know, instead of taking the loss. I thought that was part of it. I thought Mississippi State's defense is really good, though, so I don't want to, you know, take anything away from that. They do have a good defense. But Illinois' team that relied on running the ball all season. I mean, Chase Brown had, 100 yards in – nine straight games or something like that during this season? Well, Illinois ran for, Love had 40 yards and McCray did not, you know, do much. I mean, so yeah, I don't know. They couldn't run the football. And when you're a team that relies on running the football and you can't run the football, it makes it hard.
And I
think that hurt them.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I noticed in terms of getting the ball across the middle, it seemed like if they were pulling a blitzer, they seemed to pull them on in the guard center gap. And I wonder if it was just a thing of height where DeVito just couldn't get, couldn't see over the top of the middle. Maybe that was part of what they were betting on. But certainly that guard center guard that was so frustrating in red zone situations, that's where it seemed like that Mississippi State won the battle most of the day.
I agree, Mike. And We talked about that in the press box. We said they're long. They're very tall on the interior. And we don't think maybe he could see over them clearly. And it gave him some problems there. Because there were openings. I mean, you could see it. But I also think that's on your offensive coordinator. You got to be able to see that. And, Barry Lenny's – a lot of people are bagging on him. You know, it's fine, whatever. And that's part of the job. But I think, there were some things they could have done differently, sure. But I thought he was fine. You know, it just – Illinois only scored – you can't score 10 points and expect to win games very often in college football. I mean, look at the college football playoffs. Those teams scored – if you didn't score 40, you weren't winning, right? So you you got to be able to score the football. And that's my one concern about this, is that this team finishes 8-5, which is a huge improvement.
Huge.
They were 7-1. They had chances, but they were 7-0 in games where they won by more than one score. And I'm counting today as a one-score game, since it was 13-10 and a fumble recovery 6. But they were 1-5 in one-score games. In 2 years, Brett Bielema is 4-9 in games decided by one touchdown or less, 8 points or less.
Yeah,
that's a concern.
Yeah, no,
you
got to
win
that
those close games.
No, that is, and I think, you know, a combination of it is, I think at some point he's going to have that come to Jesus that Saban had, and that come to Jesus where Saban decided, you know what, I'm going to have to give up a few more points and take some more risks on offense, but I'll win more than I'll lose. And I think that's what ultimately, you know, gave him, you know, a few extra national titles. The other thing is, and this is what you jumped in probably towards the end of it, is we know that the college sports system is, and I use the word rigged, but nobody's trying to cheat. It's just set up for the blue bloods to keep winning. And you have to fight hard to get those calls as you move up the ladder in the sport and move up the pecking order. And people really don't understand. If you go to IlliniGuys.com and read our articles, you know, I did one on the mountain that's in front of Bielema and compared the last, you know, 40 years. I compared Iowa to Illinois from the day that, you know, Mike White was hired. And you basically, you take a look, you know, Iowa's won a ton of games in that era, and Illinois has had the Mike White era, and then they've had three good seasons since John Makovic left. And I think it takes a while to get the benefit of the doubt on those calls. I mean, I don't think if that helmet to helmet was in front of Ryan Day or Jim Harbaugh right there, I don't know if it gets called. And I will bet you my life that if that hit is in front of Nick Saban, that's a call. That flag goes out so fast, it'll make your head spin. And Illinois just hasn't got the money in the bank of being successful to have a referee pull a flag like that.
Yeah. And that's fair. I mean, I just, and you know, I don't want to blame the officials.
Because oh no, that's not,
that's the answer, but
right.
I do think there's something to it. I mean, you know, that we see that all the time. I mean, we see it in basketball. We saw Duke get the calls, you know, for years, and where Kentucky, Kansas, whoever it is. So everybody gets those little breaks, I think, because it's just human nature.
Yep.
But I will say this. I thought the problem with Illinois today was really, I mean, that one call. But I thought they made some calls that went against Mississippi State. My thing about today with Illinois, now I have a positive outlook because I thought some young guys did some really good things. But they just lack the ability to make plays. It's kind of been a trademark all year. They don't make plays down the field. And so
they need difference makers. They need guys who are difference makers to do it.
And they have one difference maker on the team.
Yes.
They have one difference maker.
And Isaiah is not tall enough.
Right.
I mean, God bless his heart.
Correct.
To he's throw a, deep he's balls a, too.
Isaiah's a slot guy. So you're going to get the ball. And he can make a play and get down the field. Might make a big play, but it's on a 5-yard pass usually. I mean, most of his balls are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. You saw that on the last play. If Isaiah Williams is 6'2", he catches that ball that DeVito throws because he's 4 inches taller, right?
Easy.
And he's able to do that. And just it makes it's a different aspect. And I think that's where they lack of, you know, a wide receiver can go up and make a play against a defensive back. And they don't have that. And I do think, you know, obviously the other playmaker they had was Chase Brown. You know, he's a guy who could break it. And he didn't play today. So it's, you know, I know everybody's going to go in the offseason and say, oh, my gosh, we don't have a running back for next year. We don't have anything. Here's the thing. I don't know that Chase Brown would have made a huge difference other than I think they would have defended differently if Chase Brown was playing.
Right, right. So you're talking where they deployed guys on the field, which might have left some openings.
Correct. But I don't necessarily think he would have suddenly run for 140 yards or something like that against this defense.
But I do think,
like, had he been out there, maybe other guys would have had openings because he was out there. if that makes sense. And, you know, because in the second half, you saw them shade everything toward Isaiah Williams and said, hey, somebody else is going to have to make a play to beat us. And they really can't. You know, they don't have guys like that. Yeah, you can, you know, you can get a 5-yard completion, but eventually you throw a couple incompletions or you get a sack. Now the 5-yard completion isn't going to get it done. So no. That makes it hard. You're playing against the chains all the time. And when you can't run the football, it's tough when you don't have that dynamic kind of passing attack. I love what they do. I mean, I love the things they do, and I thought Illinois played really good defense. I'll tell you, the last time I was in a New Year's Day bowl game with Illinois, I guess it was, well, both times, the last two times, right? When I watched Illinois play LSU back in the Sugar Bowl in like 2002, January 1, 2002.
No, was that last turn
year? Yeah. Those guys ran through the secondary. There wasn't a defender within 10 yards of their wide receivers.
Yeah, it was like that a hot knife through today. Butter. Yeah,
it was unbelievable. They just throw it wherever they want. Illinois scored too, though. That was the difference because they had guys like Lloyd on the outside. They had some wide receivers who played in the NFL, so they could do some things. But it was totally different. Today, Illinois competed with these guys on the field defensively, but they just weren't able to create separation. So I was pleased with Aaron Henry. He did a good job. I mean, again, you give up 13 points, get a couple of turnovers. A pretty good day at the office as a defensive coordinator in college football.
Well, and you know what? Here's a message out to Malik Elzey. Hopefully he chooses Illinois. Fans will want to tune into that All-Star game on Saturday to see who he picks. But certainly his talent on the outside would be a welcome addition to the Illinois wide receiver room. And Ked, you interviewed Colin Moore, who signed this year and has some size and speed as well. So I think
I'm gonna tell you right now, Colin Dixon. To me,
I'm sorry, that's
okay. I'm gonna tell you right now. I sent his game film to a couple of high school coaches, and I had a couple of my friends look at this tape. This kid probably is one of the most underrated receivers in the country. He is big and he is extremely fast. And so hearing Brad talk about that, maybe that's why they don't do it. Maybe because DeVito has an arm. I mean, you didn't see it in Illinois a lot, probably because they didn't have those guys. You know, I don't want to discredit the guys, Pat Bryan, those guys over there, but Hightower, but maybe they didn't have the confidence enough in those guys to throw it downfield. But that should not be an excuse moving forward because that's a huge part of the offense. You, Brad, before you got on the air, probably 40% of the conversation I had was you got to score more than 10, 13 points. You just have to. This is college football. I mean, you look at teams that are all over the country. Iowa was one of the worst scoring offensive teams in the country this year. Put up in their bowl game, 21 to 24 points. You got to score, man. You got to give your defense a chance. I'm not disappointing the defense one bit. And they were aggressive, and that, to me, looking at the future of the program defensively, those young guys, Aaron Bailey's from my hometown, this kid was a 2-star recruit. His only scholarship offer was South Dakota State. And this guy's potentially, if you hear Brett Bielema talk about him, he thinks he's going to have a chance to play on Sundays if he continues to get better. They have to get difference makers on offense just like that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's probably where we're at. That's why when you hear my frustration, my frustration comes from a place where, again, Illinois, this team – has overachieved in my eyes. They, 8-5 is a hell of a record when you consider what people were saying before the season started. I'm one who doesn't believe in when a team surprises you, and you know they go 7-1, and everybody's like, well, if they don't go 11-1, it's a failed season. I think those people can, you know, well, anyway, I think they're crazy. Because ultimately, teams tend to play, you know, down to the mean, and at some point, you know, the gaps in talent are seen, and Illinois did this without a lot of difference makers, and they did it without a lot of depth. You know, Johnny Newton played through triple teams through the whole season and kept himself healthy and kept his motor going. So I have nothing. The frustrating thing is, and I'm going to go back just like I'm going to use the helmet to helmet. It's a rule that I don't necessarily agree with because I'm old and I played in the 80s. But at the same time, if you're going to write the rule, don't not call it and then tell me that I don't that I don't understand it, because you know you saw it on the sideline today in front of Bielma. We saw it in the Michigan game, and the Ohio State game was a shady one. But I don't know how a guy can get a concussion and have to sit out the game without having his head hit. But you know, maybe I don't understand
physics. Mike, I'm with you. Targeting, and what is a catch? Do you know what a catch is still?
Clearly, I don't. But I will tell you. Let me say one thing, Brad, because people like to get on me being the fan guy for going after the refs. But I thought the refs did a good job this game, because in the first half, a Mississippi yep. State guy caught the ball. It looked like he might have caught the ball. It came out. Johnny Newton had it. Would have been a huge turnover. And they declared it incomplete. And I thought that was exactly the same as what they called for Illinois later on. To me, that yep. was perfect consistency by the referees. A kudo to them both ways, because both plays looked very similar on replay. Where I had the issue is the helmet-to-helmet call. I mean, that's just how somebody gets hurt. And then the yeah. second no, thing I, is
I,
is that
– I was just saying, I thought both of them were catches and fumbles.
Yeah. No. You're totally right, Brad. Yes, you're totally right, Brad. They were consistent, where for one team it's a catch and the other team it's not. They didn't do that. So kudos to them for that. I still think, and I'll have to see this play, you know, 100 million times, but I still think the Michigan guy, by the time he was done bobbling the ball, I thought he was in the end zone. And I don't like Michigan. People know that, but I have to admit that. And I thought in this particular case, I thought that kid's foot was out of bounds. You know, it is what it is. But Illinois, unfortunately, has been on the wrong end of those calls this year more than normal. And hopefully, yep. Coach Bielma can keep the team at this level where they all of a sudden they'll get some of that credibility so that they get the benefit of the doubt in the minds of the referees. That's all I'm saying. I can't wait till that happens.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But I'm 55. I may not ever see it.
Yep.
So as we kind of we're still waiting for Matt Stevens, who will be joining us later. He's actually in the press conference, and Lord only knows what's going on there. But as we look, Brad, you know, this year 8-5, hell of a year for the Illini. What is your outlook now? You've seen kind of the signing class. You know, there's still a possibility of one or two guys. A couple questions for you. Do we think anybody's going to enter the transfer portal here in the next week or two? And what are your thoughts for next year? Two questions for you.
Yeah, I would be shocked if some guys don't enter the portal. Okay. Illinois will lose some guys, just like every team's going to lose some guys in the next. I guess it's better than Purdue, who lost their guys before they played their game and got beat by a million. So hey, that can happen. But Illinois's going to lose some guys. If you're not playing, then you're probably going to, you know, you're going to go in the portal. I mean, you can't really fault them for looking for an opportunity. So I think Illinois is going to lose some guys in the portal, but I think it's important that they're pretty much at 85 right now, 84, 85 scholarships. So when Elzy decides, so if they announces whatever it is, so when that happens, then it's going to be one for one. I do think they're going to add another offensive lineman, veteran. I think they're going to add some defensive line help. I like that they've already added an impact offensive lineman, a tight end, and some depth at safety. So I really think they've done a good job of, you know, filling some holes. They got a couple more to fill. If they could find an impact wide receiver or an impact running back, maybe they take them. But I think it's going to have to be a one-for-one thing when somebody leaves. They've got a good, you know, they've got some young guys that are going to have to develop. But I think they're going to be really good, especially if they can keep Newton and Randolph. If Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph come back, and I would probably tell Johnny Newton to go pro, but Keith Randolph comes back, I expect him to. Newton's obviously, it's going to come down to can they get him some NIL money. But if he returns, suddenly your defensive line goes from you got some young guys behind him, yeah, but you're going to be fine. I mean, you're going to be really good on defense again next year. I'm not saying you're going to lead the nation in scoring points allowed like you did this year, but you're going to be very good on defense. You've got to – I think their quarterback, and I know he's not going to be as old as Tommy DeVito experience, but I think he's got more arm talent. He's more accurate. He's a little more mobile. The only thing I worry about is him is getting hurt because he's a little thinner. He's not as big as – but I like their future. I mean, I really think this team's in the right path. I think that the good year will help them in 2024 recruiting moving forward. And also in the portal here, they can find a couple impact guys, a guys from lower level moving up, or a guy from that wasn't playing in a, you know, another high major who maybe was just behind a guy who's really talented, like Luke Altmaier. They just added a quarterback, same situation. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about what they have in the future. I think this is a building point. And you know, you would have liked to won this game to help. But either way, I mean, at the end of the day, these are the bowl games are exhibitions. They're fun, but at the end of the day, they're not. You aren't playing for a seat. It's not like a college football playoff. Now, here's the thing: if this was a 12-team playoff this year, I would have been disappointed in this season a little bit because Illinois should have been there. Had they won a couple of games, the Michigan State game, the Purdue game, if they win those. A couple of those in the Indiana game, just those three games against teams that I think they have more talent than, though they would have been in the, they're probably in the playoff. I mean, they're probably in the playoff there. And then if you beat Michigan, you're a high seed. You're in the Big Ten championship game. So this team had an opportunity this year to kind of make some noise even more than they did. And so that's what I'm concerned about going forward is you can't leave those when you're in Illinois who doesn't get there very often, you can't leave those seasons and opportunities on the table.
Yeah, and so that was really good because I know that if you go to lineofguys.com, Mike Farrell actually talks about an offensive line prospect who has ties to Central Illinois. You want to take a look at that. Chad, what are your thoughts in regards to transfer portal and looking at next year?
Well, Brad is 1,000% correct. They're going to lose some kids. It happens to everybody in the country, and I don't blame them. I understand it. But I also think Illinois is going to replace those players. They're going to replace people with quality depth. I want to just make one comment here. I'm watching the Purdue and LSU game. And right now there's been probably a 15-minute delay on a Purdue player that's injured. And there's at least 10 to 15 medics trying to help get this kid off the field. So I feel bad for the kid, number one. But I want people to understand when people opt out of these bowl games, these stars have a chance to make money. This is why. This is a prime example why. We don't know the extent of this kid's injury, but let's just say that with Devin Witherspoon in the situation and some of the people who were mad that he didn't play or Chase Brown, this is a classic example of why. This is these kids' futures. It's great for us as, you know, sports writers and fans to say, hey, we want to see the best kids play. But looking at this, this is awful, and I totally understand this. So I get that part of it, but sorry. To answer your question, I think Illinois is going to be okay. Long term, in the future, they're going to be fine because I believe in Brett Bielema. I just think, you know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe a lot of us are wrong with the play calling as far as throwing the ball on the field. Maybe they're looking for that deep threat guy. If they have that, then there's no excuses for people to like me to say anything. But I would like to say that. And also, I'm going to give Casey Washington kudos. I thought coming back, he was a solid possession receiver. He had good hands all year. He didn't hurt Illinois. He was a guy that I'd like to see them throw the ball down the field 2, 3, and 4 times more a game because to get 4 and 5 yards, especially when they took the running game away from Illinois.
Yep. Yeah, and Casey played well. You know, that was really good to see. So as we kind of wrap up with you guys as we're waiting for Matt to jump in here, Brad, any final thoughts after spending your time down there in wonderful Tampa?
You know, it's fun for Illinois relevant, and they're in a New Year's Day bowl game. I mean, people should be excited about that. It's been a while. And they did it not by – this isn't kind of a fluke year when they got stuck in a New Year's bowl game because the one team got put in the BCS title game for a few years back. I mean, it's been – you know, it's been a while since Illinois got in a New Year's bowl game like this. And I was really happy with this and this season, and it exceeded expectations. Yes, it's hard to – you know, put the loss or the finish out of your mind. But here's the reality. This team lacks depth. They were going to run out of gas. And I think you saw that at the end of the football game too. They just don't have the same depth that some of these other teams that have been around for a while have. But this bright future. So it now you're back under. Brett Bielema said it after the game. You know, he's got to – they got to just keep getting better, and they got to get to another level, and that's what their next goal is.
Yep.
I will – can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I'll never forget. So when Ron Zook was hired, I remember Dan Dish was linebackers, DB coach, whatever it was, and he was talking about – they went out on the field against They went out on the field against
Brad just Ohio won State. $1 billion there.
I did. I just won. So they went out on the field against Ohio State and they literally had a situation where the kids on their team went back and put their shirts on because after they saw the Ohio State kids, they didn't belong. I mean, like, they were like, oh my gosh, these guys are huge. They're ripped. I mean, oh my God. And then now Illinois goes out there, whether it's against Michigan, whether it's Mississippi State, SEC team. By the way, Illinois has never beaten an SEC team, current one. But anyway, they belonged. I mean, yeah, they were able to compete, and they were as physical, as strong. They didn't look slow out there. They had the speed. But so I think that's impressive, and I think that's where this program's going. And so the future's bright. You just got to keep competing and keep adding talent.
That's good, and I think that's – boy, did Ron Zook turn that around in about 2 or 3 years. And I think Brett Bielema is doing the same thing, maybe not quite with the very top end of recruits, but certainly he's doing it by coaching them up. Ked, any final thoughts on your end of the spectrum here?
A great hire by Josh Whitman. I'm a big Bielema fan. I know he's not stupid. He's very analytical. He's smart, kind of like Coach Underwood. They see what we see. They're never going to say some of the things that we say, which I understand and I get it. But moving forward, and this isn't us just being homers. You're right. You know, all we hear about was the SEC speed. You know, if you were to took the helmets off those, you know, the front of the names off the front of the jersey and the helmet stickers, you couldn't tell the difference. Illinois did belong, and they had a chance to win. They didn't get blown out. You know, I'm watching Purdue, you know, they're getting beat 56-7. That didn't happen to Illinois today. They just didn't. And so they're not that far off. You got to get guys to fit your system and what you believe in. And I know next year, I expect them to be in the bowl game again next year. You know, I would, some of those breaks that didn't go Illinois' direction this year, you know, maybe it will next year. But the future's bright. Make sure you guys follow recruiting. I mean, I know there's going to be some changes coming up here daily. So with kids coming and going and kids wanting to be a part of it, kids who, like Brad said, it's okay to want to go somewhere and play. Can't fault these kids.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And I will tell you right now, and I don't know if Brad and Ked or Matt has just jumped on board, will agree with me. But I got to be honest with you. If you want to tweet at me about Chase Brown or Devin Witherspoon, you know, not being good people because they didn't play in this game, I have no care in the world I won't even address it because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I totally understand why a kid would be concerned. And we just saw that horrific situation in the Purdue game. And we hope to God that kid is going to be okay. But, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan, and seeing what happened to the linebacker from Notre Dame who went from a surefire top four pick to a guy who, you know, went in the second round and, you know, he made a fraction of the money. And that was with the Dallas Cowboys investing millions in doctors and stuff to put him back together. So and allowing him to take a year off. You know, so kids are going to choose to protect their interests, and I do not fault them at all. They have families and that have sacrificed a lot to put them in the position where they're at. And if they can do better by their family and by their future, then I can totally live with that. And when a kid decides to transfer to another school, hey, you know, I didn't want certain guys to transfer, but they're good people. Omar Payne, I'd love to have him backing up at the center position for the basketball team, but he thought he saw an opportunity to get to better his situation. Good for him. I'm never going to go against a player for doing what is good for him and his family or question it. Matt, you just got out of the press room with Coach Bielema. What are your thoughts following this close loss at the ReliaQuest Bowl this year?
Yeah, I think it was an indication of what – first of all, I think it's an indication of what Mississippi State's going to be based on going forward here, which is – I think they're going to play really good defense under Zach Arnett. They essentially took the thing that Illinois has to do every week and didn't allow them to do it. And then basically made them essentially beat them in a bowl game in a neutral site, you know, with one hand tied behind their back. And it was probably their dominant hand, and that's the running game. You know, if Illinois can't run the football, and they couldn't consistently run the football. There was a point, I thought, during the drive where they made it 10-3 where, okay, we got it going. We got it cranked up. Reggie Love's got some confidence. And they just never could get it back. And there was never that consistency, like obviously like Chase brought to the entire season as the Big Ten's leading rusher. So I think that's where you end up with this game only being 10 points on offense. But I thought defensively, you know, Bielema talked about it. There are a lot of highlights that where you look at the future of this defense and you think about guys like Matthew Bailey, you guys think about Xavier Scott, you guys think about, you know, Keyonte Curry. And you start to look at this defense and how many freshmen were out there today trying to cover an air raid. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, minus the pitchy woo-woo that Illinois tried to do at the end of the game, it was 13 points that the defense gave up. And so I think that, you know, obviously – if you're looking at the debut of Aaron Henry as your coordinator and play caller and trying to put this all together in a matter of a month, I think that was pretty good. You know, Barry's got some stuff that he can work on, but I'll be darned if he didn't try pretty much practically every time he could to try to get the ball in number one's hands a heck of a lot more than he has all year long. And you saw why he is such a coveted athlete. And I, quite frankly, I just think he's the best athlete on the field wearing orange and blue every time that they line up and play. So, you know, there was number one leaves with confidence. He started talking in future tense about Illinois today. I don't know what the thing was about this week. I don't know if he misspoke or there was drama there. Based on what he was talking about today, I would imagine Isaiah Williams will be back in Champaign for 2023. And I think what you saw today can translate into the spring and into year two of a Barry Lunny system, even with a new quarterback. I think that should give Illinois fans a lot of encouragement about how they can spread defenses out and maybe throw the ball a little bit more. Cause I mean, Isaiah said it better than anybody. Like, you know, there have been games this year where they've proven that they can be, you know, a complimentary passing offense. And I think they tried to do that today, knowing that Chase wasn't on the field. And it was probably the best game that Isaiah Williams has ever played and has ever, you know, put together in orange and blue. So from that standpoint, I know it's disappointing that Illinois takes a loss today, but there are a lot of things I felt like Illinois did positively. But when you, there just wasn't enough sustainable drives, against the Zach Arnett defense that allow you to feel comfortable about taking home a win against a Southeastern Conference opponent. And so that's kind of the overall summary of the way I kind of see, based off of what everybody has just kind of said coming off the field.
Yeah, and the other thing is the small mistakes that Illinois makes. I mean, one cost a touchdown today. Yeah. You know, those small mistakes – are frustrating, and I'm sure Coach B is trying to get those, you know, coached out of the system, you know, but a couple of those came up big. And to be honest, when Mississippi State looked like they were trying to give it back with Preston Jr., you know, lipping off to the Illini receiver, you know, allowing, you know, a first down, there were a couple of their penalties that were just as ridiculous and undisciplined that caused them problems as well.
Well, and Will Rogers was just bad in the first half. Let's just be real about it. I mean, they've got to score points going all the way down the field. They got the ball to take it all the way down the field. They've got to score points. He throws the pick in the end zone to Matthew Bailey. Now, it's a tipped ball, but, you know, Will Rogers for the first 30 minutes of this game I thought was really bad. And part of that was I think that we can talk about pass rush all we want to. That offense is designed for the quarterback to get the ball out. And at the very, very least, you saw guys like Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton. And even when they brought pressure, sometimes like a Tyreek Barnes, who was quite frankly the only linebacker on the field in this scheme today, you saw him at least make Will Rogers move the pocket. And early on, when they made him move the pocket, it was either going to be a duck incompletion or a pick. And so I felt like making him move his feet and then throw was part of the objective, because they kind of knew they probably weren't going to be able to get him on the ground, because 75% of the time he was just going to throw the ball. You know, he was just going to dunk it to somebody. And, you know, that's basically Mississippi State's pseudo running game out of the air raid. So I thought Will Rogers was terrible in the first half and really allowed.
So was part of that, Matt, was part of that the fact that Aaron Henry kind of it almost looked like he was going the anti-Walters, because he wasn't blitzing as often. You know, he was dropping guys. I mean, is that something that maybe caught Mississippi State off guard a little bit, that they weren't getting some of those situations that they thought they might, when, you know, I mean, let's face it, Ryan Walters would sometimes send both cornerbacks.
Yeah. I think Aaron kind of used a 5-1-5 today, which I've very, very rarely seen this year. And honestly, of those five, one of them was dropping.
Exactly.
So like, I think, yeah, but Mike, if you don't do that, like this offense, they're throwing to grass. And if you don't do that, somebody is going to find themselves open if you don't do that. You know what I mean? Like,
so what's that?
If you don't
do that,
if you don't drop guys and make sure that you have every bit of grass covered, like,
yeah,
in especially over the middle in basically what I would consider the short to moderate passing game, essentially a 5-yard completion at that point turns into a 54-yard completion just like that. And they knew it. Right. But I think Illinois realized we have enough athletes like a Gabe Yakis. You saw Gabe Yakis drop in coverage today and do a really, really good job. You saw Keanu Inuglia drop in coverage today and do a really, really good job. I thought Tyreek, being the only linebacker that was kind of out there, kind of had his head spinning a couple of times, believe it or not. And I know he's a really, really good player, but I think that they kind of threw it behind his ear sometimes. And I don't think he was prepared for, you know, how close he could be to some picks, especially in the first half again, because Will Rogers was terrible. But I also felt like, you know, guys like Keith Randolph and guys like Johnny Newton and even guys, you know, I thought like T-Rod Edwards out of the defensive tackle position, were able to at least make Will Rogers move the pocket. Now, Mississippi State did a better job against Tommy of getting him to the ground.
Yes.
And that's honestly because I think Tommy, this is where I've talked about it for 13 games now. Everybody has talked about, I want Illinois to throw the ball down the field more. They've got to throw the ball down the field more. They're not very good at it. Like, they don't have receivers that can go make plays whose name isn't Isaiah Williams down the field. And they don't have the ability to get open, so that if you're trying to do these long routes, right, like basically you're just allowing the defense to have more time to rush the quarterback and get home. And on this occasion, I thought the right guard position today, whether it was Jordan Slaughter or actually whether it was Zy Chrysler, were pretty terrible today. And Tommy was on his back a lot. And so, you know, whether it's being able to protect for long throws down the field, being able to complete them at all, or get separation on your wide receivers, they're just not very good at it right now. And so they don't do it because they're not very good at it. And if they tried to do it all the time, they'd be punting just as much as you think that they are this year. So, you know, it's something that in the spring and in fall camp of 2023, like, Barry's going to have to figure out and adapt his offense to, you know, going forward. But I think Illinois, you know, I thought played a complimentary football game today, but just didn't put enough sustainable drives together. And the reason I thought they didn't put enough sustainable drives together was for the first time in a long time, because you don't have Chase Brown, you flat out just didn't run the ball effectively at all. And if you, if this team is not capable of running the ball effectively, guess what? It's going to be a, it's going to be a hell of a hill to climb. And they almost got it done, you know, again, playing with their non-dominant hand essentially today. And I thought it was a pretty hell of an effort by this defense, and Tommy DeVito, quite honestly, but I didn't think, and Isaiah Williams, you just couldn't put up enough sustainable drives to get a W today.
Yeah, I felt like some of the pass patterns were a little too deep. It would have been nice to have a little bit more of a safety valve for Tommy, because there were several times when once he was back there for more than 3.5 seconds, he generally had company. And then that meant that he's moving around. It would have been nice to have somebody to dump the ball off, which wasn't always there. At some point, I guess, you know, this is the fifth game that Illinois lost that I would call within a touchdown. I know that the little
it's a one-score game. I mean, yeah. I don't care about the pitchy-pitchy.
Exactly, exactly. So at some point when you lose five games by that amount, I'm hoping that – I'm not saying Brett Bielema is going to have the Saul on the road to Damascus or Paul on the road to Damascus, you know, change of heart that – but Nick Saban has. You know, he's had that. And I wonder if even a guy like Brett Bielema might look at this and say, hey – you know, we got held to 10 points by Mississippi State, a good team. And then the guys in the CFP, if you didn't score 43, you weren't winning the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll that hand grenade in. Matt, go ahead and answer that. And then when you talk to Brett, ask him for me.
Yeah. Again, the two teams that finished the regular season undefeated, they ran the football and they played defense. And they dominated the line of scrimmage, everything close to the football, like,
and they scored points.
Well, they did
in the damnedest of ways when it came down to it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Michigan didn't score points all the time, right? I mean, like, and so
just when they had to.
Physicality is what's going to win out at this level. Again, look, here's the irony of the whole thing is that offensively, I think Zach Arnett looks at what Mississippi State did today. And I'm telling you, I talked to enough Mississippi State people throughout this week. They are pitching that in the garbage can the minute they get back to Starkville. They are going to run a very similar, you know, structured offense, probably out of the shotgun. But, I mean, they're going to re 50-50 pass run. They're not doing this air raid stuff anymore now that Leach isn't, obviously anymore. I think Zach Arnett gets frustrated with having his defense on the field 2/3 of the game. And so I don't think Brett Bielema is ever going to put that on his defense. Now,
in fairness, Nick Saban doesn't run the air raid.
No, he doesn't. And Nick Saban also, like, you know, let's use last year, not this year's, but last year's draft as an example, right? Nick Saban also had four wide receivers get drafted into the NFL pretty high, I think, in the first two rounds. You have that kind of capability on the outside, guess what? You're going to let Bryce Young pitch it around, right? But there's been times in which they've had those types of athletes and they actually have run that type of offense and they've handed the ball to Derrick Henry 42 times, right? So, you rolled that grenade in there, Mike, and I'm going to say the same thing I've said before, is that Brett Bielema is not here to entertain you. And when he walks into that post-game press conference, Mike, and he says, look, I knew this was going to be a gritty football game from the minute we got to Tampa. Well, this is what he thought would win the football game. So,
well, yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah. That. And so, like, at that point, like, you either want your head coach to prepare you for wins or you want to be entertained. And I think this goes into, like, maybe sometimes the basketball argument, where I feel like fans all over the country, not just in Illini fans, would prefer them to lose 105 to 103 instead of win 40-59. Right. And so, I don't understand that mentality,
but they don't like losing.
But I do know that it exists, right?
Yeah, but they don't like losing 50-49. I think that's probably the key.
That's probably true.
Another question.
Go ahead.
So this is another game of two critical calls, both of which that went against the Illini, the foot out of bounds on the touchdown,
Okay.
And if you look at fan bases, they were split about 50-50, and it wasn't necessarily along who you were rooting for. So okay. there's obviously some margin for discussion on that play, but there was even the Mississippi State fans were like, "Ooh, we'll take it." So then that call, and then what looked to be a clear helmet to helmet right in front of Bielema. Both those calls, as he kind of turned back the page, so to speak, and not really talked about that after some of the issues that happened earlier in the year when he complained about it.
It didn't come up.
Okay.
This is where I'll point out two things. One, that was not a Big Ten crew. So when I point out things to people, like, hey, all around the country, they're having these.
They're bad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're like, and two, I sat there next to Sturdy all day long. And we are convinced the two fumbles are not, should have gone Mississippi State's way. Like,
well, see, now that's where I would disagree. I would actually say that while I thought they both should have been fumbles.
Right.
They both were not called fumbles, so at least they were consistent. I still have no idea what a catch is.
I don't either.
I'll give you that. But to me,
I don't have an idea of at any level, Mike, what it is.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you.
The NFL.
Yep. But I will tell you that they looked very similar on replay. And I'm like, okay, if they look similar on replay and you call them the same way both times, I can't complain about the refereeing on that.
Right.
Because at least you were consistent within the game.
Right. And on the tiptoe touchdown, first of all, that's a hell of an athletic play by the
Mississippi. I'm not arguing that at all.
No, you're not. I know you're not. The point I've always made is, okay, the call on the field was touchdown.
Yeah. And once you make that.
I was sitting there with Sturdy going, okay, now do you have enough?
It sure as hell looked like it on the replay.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. There's two things I don't know about when it comes to football. What is indisputable video evidence?
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah.
What is a catch? Yep. I don't know what any of those things are, because I really think Pat Bryant fumbled the football. I really do.
That's fair.
I have no earthly idea. So what I think Bielema is thinking about when he walks in there is, one, it's not a Big Ten crew. So
right.
He didn't get jobbed by the normal guys that he feels
been
like
jobbing him. Yeah.
Jobbed by all year. I think you get a real sense, again, if you're Brett Bielema, hey, it's been this way all over the country. I tell people all the time, go watch Pac-12 games, like at 12 o'clock at night. Like, they sometimes don't know what down it is. And the second thing is that I think from a calls standpoint, and quite frankly, there were a couple of things that Brett Bielema did in this game that were just kind of, how shall I say, strange. Like,
oh, I love what he gave he basically kind of, I don't know if he did this way, but he basically
tried to get 2 seconds back on the clock.
Exactly.
He could run a draw play to Reggie Love. Like,
yes, I know. And if that would have been the opposing coach, I would have been like, why are you wasting my time? But since it's our guy, I laugh.
Well, and look at it from the perspective of, and I've heard this argument about Dan Hurley, the UConn basketball coach. Okay. Coach, we just gave you a call. We just helped you out here. We gave you 2 more seconds.
Okay, but I'm gonna steal from Ked. Okay, so Ked's gonna probably unmute himself. But basically, they didn't give him anything. The rules stated there was 2 seconds left, and so that's the first problem I have with refereeing nowadays. After watching, and you know how painful it is for me, after watching Michigan get hosed on what I thought was 2 calls, even though they got every call against Illinois. Right. I thought that the kid was targeted. I don't know. I don't know what is a better video of targeting than what those refs.
Oh yeah, the targeting calls in the semifinals were terrible.
That was horrible.
Terrible.
I thought the Ohio State call.
Both of them.
That one. I don't know how you get a concussion, and especially when you take a look at where that guy came from. He was going to deliver a blow, whether that ball was in the air or not. But then the final one. Was the catch where you could see him bobbling it as he went over the line. He still hadn't caught it. And I look at those things and I'm like, when I hear somebody go, well, the refs didn't give it to you. It's like, there's no give. It either is or it isn't. And you're right. There's no definition of a catch. And the targeting rule has bullet points. And even if you hit all of them, they don't call it.
But it is still a human being with a heart in their chest, like calling a game.
Yeah,
and I know for a fact.
But even with replay, though, Matt.
I know I don't understand that, but I'm looking at it from like, I know for a fact that basketball officials have had enough of Dan Hurley's crap. Like, and like, that's why he gets teed up in the game this weekend, right? Is that, you know, I've had enough of your crap. Like, and
they'll prove to me that they have any type of cojones. They can do it to Dan Hurley. That's easy.
Right.
But when Tom Izzo gives them crap and they tee him up, then I'll go, hey, these guys really do mean something. John Calipari does it. Oh, these guys mean something. Or for decades, Mike Krzyzewski treating the refs like crap.
Well, you can't give Coach K a tee anymore. Like, unless.
But I'm just saying, for decades, though, they let that man get away with verbal murder on the sideline.
To put this in the shell, I guess, is that I don't believe Bielema walked to the podium and thought his team got job today. Like, so, you know, I don't know if there's indisputable video evidence to overturn that touchdown from Mississippi State. I mean, his heel looks like it's touching the white, but it also looks like it could be a touchdown.
To me, it looked like it was clearly out of bounds. Right. But I'm an Illinois fan, so I'm going to carry some inherent bias.
If you call it a touchdown on the field, I need it to be obvious on that video that we got to do this over again, right? And so, there have been look. Brett was
here's what that. I want, Matt. Here's what I want. I want that Fox technology that they use for pitches. I want that technology boxing the end zone that we can. I mean, seriously, because you should be able to do that. You know, if they can do a strike zone, which is three dimensional, you should be able to do the same thing with the end zone. Hey, guys at Fox, whoever the company is that does that, you could be making a ton of money.
I don't know who does that, because I'm saying right now, with all due respect to the people over here at Raymond James, they completely ripped up and then put down new turf, and we're here until 5 a.m. after the Bucks game doing that. So
it looked beautiful.
Kudos to them. They didn't get the right shade of orange in the end zone for Illinois, but whatever. I don't think he walked into the game thinking, hey, we didn't we got screwed on officiating. I don't think he felt that way. Hell, he was asked about this, I think, last Wednesday, if there was a call that he would want back. And I mean, and the classic Bielema answer was, well, which one do you want me to talk about? Right. I said I wouldn't talk about it anymore. Which one do you want me to talk about? So, so at that point, like, you know, I don't think Illinois leaves this thing thinking, well, we were the better team and we got beat today. Like, there are things that Illinois could have done today that, you know,
I agree.
Win the football game. And, unfortunately, the margin of error for Illinois is still, I wouldn't say razor thin, but it's thin enough that you can't make those types of mental errors.
And you can't make those types of mental errors. And then on top of it, when you do get a couple calls against you,
for all the things
they're just not good enough
about Barry Lunney's red zone offense, he designed a play so that Isaiah Williams was wide open and there was nobody within 8 yards in either one of the four directions of him. And it gets called back because the offensive line guy false starts. I mean, at that point, if you're looking for improvement out of the offense under Barry Lunney Jr., look no further than that. He basically took an entire month and said, this is how I'm going to get number one open in space.
Yep.
And he did it 8 times today for 114 yards, I think, in a career high. So, you know, and so I think progress was made in that regard. And that's kind of what I'll say is, I do think there is a bright future for guys like Matthew Bailey, for guys like Keanu Nduwia, guys in the secondary who had an opportunity today to showcase their skill set against an air raid offense and did it. And there's some stuff on – look, this is the most bouncy and the most athletic I've seen Reggie Love and Josh McCray on a football
field. I agree.
All year long. The problem is that they're not Chase Brown yet, though. You know, in their
career. And look, let's be honest though. Josh McCray has not had the opportunity to play. You know,
he ran out of money. You can't just stop him.
And I'll be honest with you, he had one play where he got the ball, ran it between the guard center gap on the left side, and if he has played the whole season, he takes that one step wide that he needs to take, and he's going 60 yards. Yeah. You know, those are the things that happen. I mean, so to me, there was a lot of bright spots, and I thought Illinois ran the ball at times. I thought the same thing that came up against Illinois and Indiana in week three came up this time. The guard center guard gap, both on pass defense and in rushing the ball, it just was unmanageable based on the personnel that Mississippi State had. They had some studs. We've got some good players. Their guys beat our guys more times than the other way around. And once you, just to your point, once you shut down most of that running game between the tackles, it's tough. But I thought Tommy DeVito, he outplayed Will Rogers. I thought he did. The only thing that Tommy DeVito could have done better today is, and Brad talked about this before you were on, two times that he throws the ball incomplete and avoids sacks, probably get a field goal, you know, in the first half, and maybe in the second half you might have better opportunities to get first downs. But those are small things when you consider that he's in the that he's dropping back to pass with on a couple plays, look like more maroon than white with him back
there. I would say in terms of Big Ten quarterbacks, I'll leave it as this, is that in terms of like the short to moderate throw, it's real hard to get more accurate than Tommy DeVito. Like,
yeah,
on the long throw, it's real hard to not be better than Tommy DeVito. Like, he's
fairness to him, he had a couple plays this year, you know, you go back and look at, that were awfully nice. So, I mean,
there's no doubt he's had good plays, but there has not been a consistency of accuracy down the field, in which, like, look, Illinois is not getting the kind of separation either.
Yeah, I was going to say, CJ Stroud has some wide open guys to throw to.
He does, absolutely. But in the next level that Tommy's now trying to prepare for, guess what? Not everybody runs wide open either.
Right, exactly.
And so, again, your quarterback's got to be a heck of a lot more accurate throwing the ball down the field. And I really thought I thought he outplayed Will Rogers. And I thought there were times in which Will Rogers really thought, I think, he was going to see a lot more blitzes. And then when he didn't see them, he had to dump it off in order to avoid a sack. And that essentially becomes their pseudo run game. So I'll take Will Rogers averaging 5 yards an attempt every single day. And from a defensive perspective, I thought they did enough to win the football game. And from an offensive perspective, they didn't run the football and they missed on a couple of things. The deep ball to Isaiah that just goes right off his fingers. Mike, if he catches that ball, he's going to turn and score. There's no doubt in my mind that guy was not going to tackle him. But there are a lot of positives that are going to come out of this. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I've said before, this was the reward for Illinois. The result on the scoreboard, you're not going to remember. You're going to remember that in 2023, Illinois played on a January bowl in a January bowl game to conclude the 2022 season. And so I feel like there's a lot of reasons for Illini fans to be excited about what the trajectory of the program heading into year three.
Yep. So any other closing comments as we have gone a little bit long, any other closing comments, Matt, we're kind of wrapping up, at least we'll have obviously other podcasts where we'll talk about this season, but this is kind of where we wrap up the last post game for the 2022 season.
Yeah, sure. I think there was skepticism on what Aaron Henry was going to look like in his first game as the defensive play caller. For me, he gets an A.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry, but for me, he gets an A.
Yep.
I think there was skepticism that by fans that we need to see some things out of Barry Lunney with a month of preparation that are going to allow us to think the offense can move forward in year two of his system come spring and come fall camp. I thought there are times in which you saw that today. I thought they actually changed the way they ran the football from the first half to the second half. You know, that drive, Mike, in the third quarter, at the end of the second quarter, right before half when they made it 10-3, they basically said, look, our inside zone game, like you said, from guard to guard, it's not going to work, right? So now we got to go zone. Like, we got to go zone gap style, right? Okay.
Yep.
And they did that. And so, and then Reggie Love is showing a little wiggle, right? And doing that. So there's an ability to adapt by this coaching staff. And I thought there were times, the most of which being identifying who your best players are and getting them the football. Isaiah Williams is your best offensive player. Let's get him the football. And they sure as hell did today. So I thought that those two things that Illinois fans might have had some skepticism in going into this game, I thought they saw some positive things going in.
Okay, good. So with that, I will wrap up this one. Of course, we've talked about IlliniGuys.com. That's where you can read Matt's articles. You can read Ked's articles. There's going to be a lot of them because Transfer Portal is still here, believe it or not. So it's just going to get crazier. Additionally, you will see, we have our radio show, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can find what city we're on, find the station, the day, Friday or Saturday, and the time, and please tune in. We think you'll enjoy it. Please call the station or give them an email and say, thanks for having us on the air. We'd greatly appreciate that. And of course, we have a variety of podcasts, Sturdy for 30, Ked's Recruiting Roundup that you can also listen to. You got to subscribe to those as well as Eye on the Illini. And as always, I want to, point out to you, we're at $99 a year. We haven't hit inflation and had that go up. And we're proud of that. It's hard to make sure we pay for Matt and Brad to go to games and pay for Ked when he's going and scouting players and stuff like that. So for us to give you great information, it is better for a subscription model to have that so that we can afford those things. And we love to have more subscribers, especially when you go back into the message boards. That's when you can argue with other fans. You can agree with other fans, ask Ked or Matt or Brad questions. It's not like getting a newspaper subscription where you don't ever talk to the people who produce the content. This is actually quite a bit different. And I'll tell you, we were actually doing some price checking. And if you were at Ohio State, you'd be paying $125 a year. That's the least expensive of those ones over there. So we feel like we're giving you a really good deal. If you're an Illini fan, please subscribe now. With that, it has been one heck of a season. It was a great game today. Unfortunately, the Illini didn't come out on top. But, boy, we saw enough to see that we really have an opportunity for a bright future. And stay buckled up because there's going to be a lot of things happening from a recruiting standpoint before they get on the field again. And IlliniGuys.com is where you will find all of that information. So for Brad Sturdy, for Kedrick Prince, for Matt Stevens, this is Mike Kegley saying go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.